As you heard, NATO has announced a massive increase in the number of troops on high alert as the Russian military pushes deeper into eastern Ukraine. The decision was made at the NATO Leaders Summit, which is being attended by dozens of world leaders, including Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. I spoke with Phil Currie from Madrid a short time ago. Good morning, Phil Currie.
Hi, Patricia.
Now, the number of force-ready NATO troops will spike from 40,000 to more than 300,000. Is there a mounting fear at the summit that the war could extend beyond Ukraine's borders? And is that concern shared by Anthony Albanese?
Look, very much so, Patricia. It's quite sobering when you're over here just how serious and existential this whole situation is. It's no small thing, as you said, for NATO to, you know, boost its ready deployment force sevenfold from the existing 40,000 to 300,000, with the whole aim of being, you know, ready at a minute's notice to defend the Baltic states like Lithuania should Russia encroach further. So certainly there's a feeling that Putin might just want to keep going if he gets away with Ukraine. There's a port around Lithuania which is going to be contested, and if NATO blockades that port, that he may use as an excuse to move, you know, into Lithuania. So it's a very real concern. It's not just that. We've had the Swedes and the Finnish, who have been neutral for decades, suddenly begging admission into NATO because they're worried that Russia may come after them. So it's all very real and stark.
The Prime Minister is hoping to visit Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Is that still on the cards, or is the security situation deemed too risky?
At this stage, it's about 50-50, I'd say. They're not really telling us much other than he will go if he can. But as you said, you know, Putin's really stepped it up this week with shelling Ukrainian cities, including Kyiv, which most people here just think it's a show of force why NATO is meeting in Madrid. But look, we'll know when we know, I think.
The Prime Minister is hopeful the free trade agreement with the European Union is now back on track. Does that mean Australia is back in favour because of changed positions, including on climate change, and the relationship with France, of course, being repaired?
Look, everyone you talk to says that, from the government down to officials and even some business people I've been speaking to who are active in this area. They say there's a sort of real relief in France, if you like. I don't know that there's been a change of government. That the two things you mentioned, Albanese mentioned at his own press conference. One is this sort of rapprochement now between Canberra and Paris post-submarine contract, and the other one is the Labor government's sort of approach to climate change. They were the two sticking points which caused the French to step in and just basically block any further talks on the FTA. So there's a willingness now to resume those talks. It will still be a hard grind to get this FTA up. You know, agriculture is going to be a big sticking point, as it always is in Europe. And, you know, even France, Macron's lost his majority there to left-leaning parties. So negotiations, everyone's confident, will get underway. But, you know, this thing could still, you know, die in the weeds in a few months' time.
Just 5 weeks into the job and the Prime Minister is on another very big world stage. How's he going? Is it a comfortable fit for Anthony Albanese?
Look, Patricia, I've done a lot of these trips with a lot of prime ministers. They all seem to take to it fairly well. You know, there's protocols to be followed and the right words to be said. And look, Albanese's doing it as well as anyone else. I think I've always found if you've got reasonable domestic political skills, you know, regarding negotiation, communication, preparedness to listen and comprehend sort of, you know, more than two concepts at the same time, you tend to be able to do the foreign affairs thing. So, no, he's done very well. It's an enormously sort of, I mean, Scott Morrison did as well, to be honest, in the sort of terms of handling these things. But, you know, I think Albanese's brought a different layer to it, one of sort of a different tone, I guess. But look, it's an enormously complex situation. And as he has said and of others have said, you know, there used to be foreign affairs and domestic policy. The two are much more intertwined now. You know, one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons, we're paying so much for petrol and food and everything else is because what's going on over here. So it's, you can't really separate the two anymore. Say back in the old days when John Howard, they were two different things. So it's one and the same now, and you've got to be across both, and you can't separate them. So no, he's doing a fine job. You know, all so far so good.
Thanks so much, Phil.
No worries, Patricia. Bye bye.
And that's Phil Currie. He's political editor of the Australian Financial Review, and this is ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.